It is so good to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. At the end of this service today, we're going to have a time of prayer just to be able to close out our service. And you helped me this morning to be aware of that before we leave. I charge you with that responsibility because my entire focus is going to be on preaching the Word of God for the next 2 hours. So you helped me this morning. You pray for me this morning. I am so grateful for this congregation. I'm so grateful that each and every one of you individually made an effort to come out to God's house this morning. And I thank you so much for being able to share this time with you. And this morning, I want to go and thank the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of His bounty and how good He is to us. So this morning, till we together in all one accord, bow our hearts unto the Lord as we kneel at His feet, approaching His throne of grace, praising Him, thanking Him, and asking Him to be with us in this service most intimately. Will you pray with me? Father, I am so grateful today, O Lord, to be here in this pulpit this morning among these people. Lord, You have told us in Your Word, O God, where two or three or more gathered in Your name, Lord, that You are in our midst. Father, we pray this morning, O God, that there be a moving this morning of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, as if You have already moved, I pray, Lord, if there be one here today, O God, that don't know You, Lord, will You continue to work in that heart, Lord, that by the end of this service, not tomorrow, not this evening, but right now, O God, that You would just move in a special way, because no word we can say, no action we can take can move a heart of man, Lord, that will last for eternity. But God, we know if Your hand is in it, and this moving of Your power and Your grace, Lord, that unmerited favor that You have shown us all, God, I pray now that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we as men and women, boys and girls, Lord, from all different places and different jobs and likes and dislikes, Lord, would You this morning join our hearts, warm us, Lord, with Your presence. Lord, that all that we do this morning, we look unto the face of Jesus, saying, Lord, what can I do to be more like You? Lord, may that be our prayer this morning. Have Thine own way. Will You touch me this morning in a special way? Lord, that Your word be spoken, and Lord, that it not only be heard, but we go out and seek after and sought after Your will in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now this morning, I stand before you as an ordained minister. Wow! Praise the Lord! Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, they told me once you get ordained, they said, Preacher Mike, be ready, because once you get ordained, your sermons will start coming in the mail. We had a good service last Sunday, but something went wrong, and because this week my sermons did not begin to come in the mail. And you know, I wish they did. But praise the Lord, He has brought us to a place together. And you know, church, it was so fitting that we were able to do that together because we have come a long way, haven't we? God has brought us so far and blessed us in so many different ways. They are really without number this morning. And I'm just so grateful and thankful to be able to stand here. Now, I know your expectations are high. The bar has been raised. But I am so glad that you have raised it so high that I can walk right under it. Amen. So here we go this morning. If you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to the Old Testament. You will turn to 1 Kings and find chapter 3, and we will beginning at verse 5. If you don't know where 1 Kings is, it's right before 2 Kings. That's simple enough, isn't it? Amen. We're going to 1 Kings this morning, chapter 3, verse 5 through 15. Now, someone once told me, as a minister had been preaching for a long time, he said, you know what, you may not ever remember all the messages that I've preached. And I understand that. I can't remember a lot that I've been preached to. But as long as I can leave you with the mark that I loved you and that you saw Christ in me, then that's all I really want to be remembered by. So now we have been on a journey together, and a good journey thus far the last couple of years into the ministry. And now we embark on this new day of ordination, which I know the Lord, I believe, had ordained me before my service actually had gotten here. But now that it's official, and we stand together. Will you look with me at the precious Word of God this morning? And can I say this morning, thank you for all that you have done, all those who were in attendance. I didn't have that opportunity last Sunday, but thank you, thank you, thank you. Look with me at verse 5 this morning. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, we'll stop there just for a moment. Pretend as if though this morning someone has came to you with the ability to do all, and they have asked you very one-on-one, very personally, what is it that your heart desires this morning? I told you last week in our message last Sunday morning, if you would show me your focus, I'll show you your future. I can tell you where you're going to be if you'll just tell me where you're at right now and if you continue on that trend. But this morning, I want to know what is it that your heart desires the most? And I want you just to be honest with yourself for a minute. Don't want you to say a word. Don't want you just in the silence of the crowd. I want you for a minute. What is it that your heart desires the most? Don't you be all spiritual on me. You be real with me. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8 that if we know that truth will set us free. So this morning, to be honest with yourself, if not with anyone else for a moment, be honest with yourself. The one thing that your heart desires the most. Solomon was asked this question. And then look it with me at verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. And according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And you know that Solomon is the son of David. Now look at verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. Not instead of him just throwing him out, but Solomon, his son, was heir to the throne. So he is the replacement of David, okay? So he has been chosen to do this. But now look on in verse 7. And I, but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. There were so many of them. But in verse 9, give, and underline give if you will, therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked of riches for thyself, nor hast asked for the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself an understanding to discern judgment. And behold, in verse 12, I have done according to thy words, God said. I have given you what it is you've asked for. And I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, because both riches and honor, so that there shall be not any among you, the kings like unto thee all thy days. Mike just kind of paraphrased that like he wanted. You see that? I'll go to verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke. Remember now, all this has been a dream. And behold, it was a dream, and he had came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all servants. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you this morning, God, for your word and for the ability to be able to come together around your word. Lord, that it may strengthen us. Lord, that it may gird us. Lord, that it may keep us true to you. Lord, this instructions that you've given us. Lord, the way that you bless our lives through the word of God. Lord, the answers that are here for, I think, of all of life's questions. God, I thank you this morning for
understanding heart. And God, may you help us as people, Lord, this morning, to be able to see the truth in this passage, that we may apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of this sermon this morning is Weekly Wisdom. I wanted to share that with you this morning because Preacher Mike, every week, has an article or a devotion every week of Weekly Wisdom. He offers that to anyone who has shared their email address with him and has got set up. But you wouldn't believe the different times that people have come to him and said, you know, preacher, I really needed that wisdom this week because it helped me out so much. It helped me discern between this or that. I was really kind of hanging in the balance, and it helped me do what was right, I believe. And you wouldn't believe the reports that he gets from that. So I encourage you each week when you're looking for wisdom, and we take this message home with us, to take a minute and look at that. If you have computer by email, you take a minute, and I tell you, it'll do you a world of good. And it just goes to show that wisdom is good to be shared with one another. Amen? We share a lot of things together, but wisdom is something we surely need to share. I want to share with you just for a moment. Yesterday when I went over to the Allen's house and I saw something, it was a picture of wisdom, I think, just for a minute. And it was, now picture this, it was James Paget driving his pickup truck full of, Brother James, how old are you? 81. You could have fooled me. No, I'm just kidding. You think 81 is in good health. I love him to death. But he's driving his pickup, and inside the cab of his truck were, was it, brother, 3 or 4 teenagers in there? 4, I think. And I seen them coming down this dirt road together. They were approaching the house after going to, I think, the dump together. They went to the dump and stuff. But you know what I saw in there? I saw what we need more of. I seen where you had an elder, one of wisdom, that was able to spend time and counsel with younger people. We so much need that. We need that interaction. And yesterday, among all of the great efforts and qualities that were put together, I seen an example of wisdom yesterday being shared. And we need that so much. And may God share some. Look at verses 6 through 8. And Solomon said, I have showed unto thy. I want to share with you with acknowledgement. Solomon, God has come to him in this dream, and he says, ask of me what I will give thee. And Solomon asked him, he says, give me an understanding heart. Give me the discernment between good and bad. And this life is full of it. Amen, church? I mean, I don't care. If you're looking for something good this morning, you can find it. If you're looking for something bad this morning, you can find it. It's everywhere. And it seems as if though the bad is more consistent than the good. So it would lead us to reason to believe that we have to look for the good more so than the bad. But it is, what are you looking for and what are you after, or are you just here? So now Solomon in this dream. It's amazing on the study of dreams a little bit. Do you understand that your dreams many times are a reoccurrence of your daily thoughts? Think about what you're dreaming about. Now, I didn't say nightmares because I think nightmares a lot of time are our greatest fears. I don't know about you, but I have dreamed about the devil more than I have anything else, I believe, in my life. I have. You ever seen that little devil on the spam can or whatever, devil's ham or whatever? That's him. That's the one. Running me down, and I'm moving just like if it's slow motion. And he's running full speed. Am I right? It's like you can't get away from it.
And, you know, wisdom comes sometimes by hard knocks, doesn't it? You ever heard the expression, learn from your mistakes? I will guarantee you that will help you with wisdom and counsel in this life. But it's a shame a lot of time we have to go through those hard times to understand. I asked a couple of people this past week, I said, gentlemen, tell me something. They don't go to church. They just don't go to church. They don't serve the Lord. I said, I'm just an inquiring mind wanting to know. I'm not a preacher for a minute. I said, explain to me why so many people are lost and undone and do not serve God. And you know what they said? This is not a Christian. This is not a, you know, whatever. This is not a religious freak or what. This is just one of the worlds, okay, where we all came from. They said it's going to take something dramatic. It's going to take something dramatic for me to change. And you know what? Whether we want that or not, truth is, before we'll change or change our understanding ways, it's going to take something big and bad to the bone for you to change. And that comes from them, not from them. Wisdom is a good way of looking at something for a minute. You remember how I told you hard knocks just a minute ago. And how we learn from our mistakes. There's one mistake that you learn from. You remember the couple that went on visitation? And they went to the lady's house, and the lady does not go to church here. But it was an elderly lady. And she came to the door as the two were on visitation and walked in the door. And she said, y'all come on in, make yourself at home. I got something in the kitchen I need to check on. And you go into the living room there, and you sit down around the coffee table, and there is a bowl of peanuts. And she told you to make yourself at home, and being the country boy you are, you go in there and make yourself at home, and you're eating her peanuts that are not salted. And as you sit there, you're enjoying these peanuts, and it's taking, seem like, forever and a day for her to get there, but because she's old, you factor that in, and therefore it is not a problem. So you continue to eat her peanuts, and the bowl is diminishing, and she comes in, and she's so grateful and so thankful. With gratitude, she expresses to you and telling you, I am so glad you eat those peanuts because I sucked the chocolate off of them last night and I don't eat peanuts. And now, and now you know why they weren't salted. Never, ever, ever eat unsalted peanuts at anybody's house. That'll teach you. Now, you can be told not to eat those peanuts. Or you can go and eat them and be thanked for eating them, and then you'll change. Which one would you rather do? Because you know as well as I do, any flower garden she may have had on the way out was speckled by chewed up peanut butter. You know? I mean, it just turns your stomach. So what are we going to do? But you know what? Do you know that sin is worse than eating somebody's chocolate-covered peanuts? It's nasty. It's corrupt. And it makes God even sicker than what you would be. The sin in your life. But, you know, we can take this approach one of two ways, and I want you just to consider that as we move forward. Watch Solomon now. I think we're together where we weren't, so maybe let's run together real quick. Acknowledgements. I want to show you in acknowledgements, Solomon says he expresses two ways, inadequate and adequate. First, he expresses in 7 and 8, he says here that, Lord, but I am a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. Now, he says that I am a little child. But let me give to you what most commentaries have given to me in his age. He is expressing his experience and not necessarily his age. It is believed that King Solomon is of the age of 20 years old when he makes this statement. He says, but I am as a little child. And he says, I am not experienced, nor am I feel like I am adequate, but I am inadequate. And Solomon is making that acknowledgement to begin with. He says, I am inadequate, God. And therefore, my dreams, which are a reoccurrence of my daily thoughts, I am not capable of doing the task in which you have given me. I am inadequate. I am not equipped. So instead of giving me riches, and instead of giving me materialistic things, God, will you enable me? Will you empower me? Will you give me that which I lack, that I may transform from being inadequate in this area of my life and make me adequate? So he acknowledges his inadequacy. But then I love how in verse 6, look at verse 6, he says, his God is more than adequate. He says, and Solomon said, that thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. And in the last part of this verse, he says, and that you kept for him this great kindness. Not just mercy, not just kindness, but great mercy, great kindness he showed to him. Can't you imagine that David and Solomon having these conversations together and David telling him, son, let me tell you what happened that day when I walked out and all of Israel were scared to death and the Philistines were standing there across the way and there was a giant named Goliath and no man wanted to face him. But because God made me more than adequate, I was able to go forward into the field, and not of my power, but of the power of God. And the strength in that sling was of God Almighty. And he placed it right between the eyes of that giant, and to the ground he fell. And what happened was, in the inadequacy of human life, he said, I can make you more than adequate because I am the great I am. You need it, I can get it. But first, you know as well as I do, a problem is not a problem until you know it's a problem. So if you don't have a problem this morning, you're perfect. Have you ever met a perfect person? I don't like them. I don't like them. I have to love them. I don't like them. I don't like them no way. You ever been around somebody who knew everything? And when you told a story, they had one better. I don't like them. You can't outdo them. You can't be better than they are. And I'm still looking for a verse in the Bible to handle those people. I think I found it, but I can't tell you about it yet. I got to look it and rehearse it. But I will tell you this. You are not perfect in all of your pride. You're not perfect. Even Jesus said that there were none good, there were none perfect but God Almighty. As long as you carry this flesh, which you're supposed to be dead in, but you have life through Christ, you will never be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But here in your wisdom, and what we need this morning is to come to this place this morning in this message and understand this, that in all of your ways, you are not adequate. You are inadequate. And that even the Christian life that you live, you are not even adequate to be a Christian. But because God comes to you and he lives that life through you, he gives you more than you'll ever need. And he makes you adequate to be a Christian and live a life of God. But you cannot do it on your own. And what do when we go out and we don't read our Bibles and we don't pray? And if we do it, we don't do it with any consistency. You are living your Christian life on your own. And you, my dear friend, are heading toward a roadblock you cannot surpass. And you are acknowledging that you are inadequate, but you are not asking for help. And that brings us to our second. Ask. Look at verse 9. He says, okay. This is Solomon speaking. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Of all the things that I could have, of all of the riches, of all of the places, of all of the harm that could befall my enemies, I ask for an understanding heart, he said. Give me wisdom or give me death. And he asked for an understanding heart. And he stands there, but now watch this. When he asked, what does he do? What does Matthew 7:7 say? It begins with ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's Matthew 7:7. And that's the best definition of ask. Write it down, record it, remember it. But what happens when you ask? You've got to be cautious and careful when you ask, and how you ask, and when you ask, and where you ask. My dear friend, listen to me. Christianity is becoming so complex that you and I do not want to go through with it in the depths of our hearts. You know that it's the only way to heaven and to glory, and it beats the alternative. But my dear friend, there's a fear among Christians, I believe, even in this day, that really surpasses what God is trying to do through us, even in all that He's adequate of, capable of doing. But see, you have to come to a place to where you trust in a God you cannot see. But you have to come to that place to where you can't see the wind, but you know it blows by the way it ripples upon or moves the tree. You have no doubt in your mind that the wind exists, but you've never tasted it, nor have you seen it. But you've seen the results thereof. And you've seen God work in your life. Listen to me this morning. You're lost and undone, but you know there's a God. You know there's a God. But you're hung up somewhere, and I don't believe you know where you're at. But you know where you need to be. And this is your opportunity. So when you ask in faith, the Bible says. Let me show you just a couple of ways to ask. Let me show you why you're asking, why you get what you ask for, and why you don't. You ever asked for something? Give me a show of hands. You've asked for something, and you've never received it. Got it? Raise your hands if you've asked for something and you've received it. Let me tell you why there's two sets of hands this morning. There are an asking of pleasure, and there's an asking of purpose. Let me give you the pleasures first. Bible says in James chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Bible tells us that James is recording here. He says that ye ask and receive not. You've been there, right? You've asked for something and you received it not. He says that because ye ask amiss, you ask in the wrong way. And by that being, he says that ye may consume it upon your lust. He said, you've asked so that it would bring you pleasure. Therefore, it was not granted. See, you may be asking for things. Now, watch this. You don't realize it, but you're asking for things. How many of you this morning got up, put your clothes on, got something to eat, come to church, and truth be known, you didn't put any dependency in God? It was all of yourself because you do it every day. It's routine. You can do that on your own. But every morning we get up, we should ask God to guide our steps and help us in every way. You have to serve God step by step. You can't serve God in a general sense. You can't just do a catch-all prayer and expect for it to take care of everything because you will not receive it. You're asking amiss. You're asking in the wrong way. You have to be specific, it has to be special, and it has to be sacred. You will not get everything you want, but God will give you everything you need. But how are you asking? Now, the job that you may be lost, though you've asked for it in a very humble way, you were not asking for anything to help your flesh, but God knows exactly, He can see the end of the parade, remember? He knows what's going to help you and what's going to hurt you at the end of life cycle. All we can see is right now. But now he says, if you ask for the pleasure, you will not receive. But let me tell you how you get what you ask for. Let me read to you James chapter 1 and verse 5. This is of purpose. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Don't raise your hands this morning. But I, as your pastor, will tell you I lack in areas of wisdom. And I believe, truth be known, there's not a soul in here that has it all figured out. I don't think any of us really believe that. There's areas that we lack in, that we know need help. How are we going to fix it? How are we going to get what we need? The other approaches you've taken have not worked. Is this it? Is this the way? Will this supply your every need? Will this help you? He says that if you any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, which means he refuseth not, and it shall be given him. When you ask of God for a request, a petition that is for purpose of God's kingdom, he'll grant it. But when you ask for anything for the pleasure, whether you see it or not, you will not receive it. So when God's answer is no sometime, take it and run with it because he does know things. You asked him to help you, remember? You said that a week or two ago. Remember, today he's doing. So now, if you need wisdom, ask him. He gives it liberally, with no holding back. All you've got to do is ask. But now, why should you ask? Can I tell you something? Can I tell you that God has designed you special, perfect, unique for this time in history? And you have an opportunity to serve God. You have what you do today will impact all of eternity. Do you know when all of us are used to wear? So we need to acknowledge his adequacy and our inadequacy. We need to ask. And we need to ask for purpose and not for pleasure. But now we need to apply. Always remember one thing. The God that formed you with his hands and gives you the next breath you're fixing to take. Will you just take just a minute? Will you put your hand on your heart for a minute? Kind of move it around until you find a heartbeat. Got one? Are you feeling a heartbeat? You got too much clothes on. Do this if you're feeling your heartbeat. We need a medic over here on aisle three. You feel that heartbeat? My wife can still find it. Paula probably the rest of the day find it. Her, she's up there doing it.
knowing that life may be a
Thirdly, and lastly, the applications in verse 16 through 27, not going to read them, but can I summarize, can I paraphrase for you? The rest of this chapter, all the way up to verse 27, this is what happened. Solomon is now a king. He is a 20-year-old man who does not have the experience. He has the experience of a child. He does not know how to go out or how to come in. But he says, God, I need your wisdom. I need an understanding heart. You know one thing? I can pastor this church as a young man with no experience. And I can say, God, I know how to go in and out. Could have went on and said, give me riches, give me materialism, kill my enemies, do all these things for me. And I believe God would have granted them, but they would have been his ruin. But he said, God, I understand and acknowledge I can't do this on my own. And I need you to help me when I go out that door and I come in this door. I do not know how to discern between the good and bad. But he could have been like a lot of us. He could have just went on and done it. Because he has a free will. He's not a puppet on a string. He could have went and governed the people of Israel. All of those people. But he said, I will not do it without God. And I am the same way. And I hope you're the same way. I will not make decisions. I will not live my life. I will not advance any further beyond this moment in time without the wisdom and the counsel of God in all of my life. Because you can't go and do it. Go on your own. Go in the of Almighty God. Watch this. Verse 16, they come up, and one's had a baby, and the other one had a baby 3 days thereafter. So we've got two women there, they're living together, they've got the baby, been born, and one woman rolls over on her baby in the middle of the night. Gonna bring them all, I'm gonna give them to you.
One rose goes on the girl and the baby, and the baby dies. Yes, if I would have told you a year ago you were going to lose half your retirement, start losing your job, you'd laugh me in my face. Bring me my soul. He said, I will take the baby that is alive, standing here for 2 months, the one that is dying. He says, bring me my sword, and I will take the baby, and I will divide it into two pieces. And I will give one half to you, and the other half to you. Now, some would say on the front, that's barbaric. Listen. He stands there, and one mother says, no. No, divide it, child, and you'll have one half, and I'll have the other. He did not have to keep her. He had the counsel of God in him. And that declares it. If you'll look at verse 28, the last verse in this chapter, after this happened, and all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that, watch this, the wisdom of God was in him to do the judgment. Amen. Where do we more than that? He takes the wisdom of all of them and he takes that counsel. He is a counselor as well. And he counsels your heart and he gives you the understanding part. And how to know what to do when you don't know what to do. And he helps you make a decision that will impact. The decision that he had in front of him with his brothers, had he made the wrong decision, would have impacted them two women's lives forever. But the right decision was made. Therefore, the mother that lost her child has to go and grieve and get over it. And the mother who had her child feels safe and secure in her arms. Live and the right decision is made. But how many of us have taken for this? Or told him down the stuff. It will not only impact you today in your pews, leaving your car, going to the evil, going home,
praise you.